bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study.
The light of the world is
Today marks the beginning of Passion Week. It's Palm Sunday. It's the holiest time of the Christian calendar for Christians. We're thinking of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we are preceding that. We are looking at the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. We have been studying in this Bible study the Gospel of John. And we only really got to chapter 1. We spent 4 lessons in chapter 1. But because it is a special time, I'm going to jump ahead to the story of John telling us the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then next week we'll have the Easter message. And then the following week we'll also have the week after Easter message that happens in John chapter 20. We're studying the Gospel of John. We're just simply taking the Easter portions of the Gospel of John as our study. Today, looking at John chapter 12, beginning at verse number 12, with the title for today's lesson, The Triumphal Entry, and then in parentheses, To Die. That not only is it a triumphal entry, we also must add to it the sadness of knowing that before this week is over, our Lord will be betrayed, He will be crucified, He will be buried. But thankfully, next Sunday, we celebrate the most joyous day of the Christian calendar, Easter Sunday, where we know He is not here, but He is risen. John chapter 12, the triumphal entry. In this chapter, we will see the actual entry and note the signs of it. We will then follow that by finding that there are some Greeks who are seeking Jesus, and they will say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And then the response of Jesus to that, He responds by giving a prediction of His crucifixion. So those three things, the triumphal entry, the Greeks seeking Jesus, the prediction of His crucifixion, these are our main points in this study today. The triumphal entry, verse 12. On the next day, this is the day after He has had a feast at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha in Bethany. The next day, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, a great crowd who had come to the feast. Now, what is the feast? This is the feast of Passover. Jesus is coming, as all faithful Jewish people are coming to a pilgrimage 3 times a year for various feasts. The feasts this time is Passover. He's been before on Passover, but this is a very special Passover. This is the Passover which He comes to die. Earlier in John chapter 12, it mentions that 6 days before Passover, He comes to Bethany, and that's where Lazarus lives. And so this tells us that this 6-day period, if we go 6 days before Passover, a little less than a week, oh, we are really at Palm Sunday here. There's good reason to celebrate Palm Sunday on this day because it is prior to the Passover, the same amount of days that we are thinking of. So that just gives us a timetable. They took branches of palm trees. It is John who tells us about these palm trees, and this gives us the title for our current celebration of calling it Palm Sunday. Now, the city where Lazarus lives and is close by Jerusalem, so he's able to travel from Bethany to Jerusalem each day, and that city is named House of Palms. Dates, actually, House of Dates. Dates come from palm trees, the date palm. And so they're prevalent there. Also, this symbol is a symbol of how a king would be greeted in biblical literature as well as historical literature along the same time of Bible history. When a general would return victorious or an emperor would enter a city, the people would wave these palms, and it was a sign of victorious conqueror. That's the first sign of this day, the victorious conqueror, who is getting a palm tree welcome, a palm frond welcome. And they're saying something. That's the second sign of this. They cried saying, Hosanna, blessed is he, blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a quotation from Psalm number 118. That psalm, toward its end, in verses 22 through 29, says that there is a stone that's going to be rejected by others, but that rejected stone will become the head of the corner. Of course, that is referring to the Messiah, and in particular, Jesus. Blessing and honor and hosannas to the coming king, that is also the language of Psalm 118. And so what they're doing is quoting scripture as they do this, and they're fulfilling the messianic portion of that prophecy of Psalm 118. And also that psalm ends by talking about a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is coming to do. He's not just coming to be honored, he's coming to die. The third sign, not only the palms, which speak of victory and a king and a conqueror, but also the language of Psalm 118. The third is also a prophecy of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. And finding the ass colt, Jesus sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes sitting on the foal of an ass. So, the palms in our day represent our view that this is the king. He's a conqueror. He's the one we have hope in. He is worthy of praise, for he conquers. Now, he doesn't conquer a nation. He conquers death. And he conquers our heart in that sense that we are converted. But the other part of this illustration of Jesus, where they're waving the palms, they're waving on a man sitting on an ass. And he's riding, he's a beast of burden. It's not a stallion. It's not in a gold chariot. He comes in a very lowly way and a very humble way. And the Old Testament had given a prophecy, look for a king who will do that. A humble king. A humble king. And there couldn't be a more humble king than Jesus Christ, the lowly. The meek shall inherit the earth, he said in his Sermon on the Mount. And he is a fulfillment of one who conquers and yet still is a man of peace and meekness. The Bible tells us something telling here about themselves. John is the apostle who's recording this, and he says something about the other apostles. His disciples did not know these things at the first. The things that I'm referring to, that he's a king, he's fulfilling Psalm 118, he's fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. No, they didn't understand that. They were just at a celebration and they were happy and they were saying happy things. And then they began to examine what had happened this day, and they began to understand that. So they didn't understand the things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that those things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. They said, we did it free will, and yet we were ended up being fulfilling prophecy. That's the marvel. God uses our free will actions in a controlled way, according to his divine plan. And it's just a marvelous thing that all things work together for good in the plan of God. Now, as they are saying this, this creates two reactions. The first is very, very negative. One group has a negative reaction to what's happening here. And the other group has a very positive reaction. Now, here is a description in verse 17 and 18. Then the crowd witnessed those who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. Because of this, the crowd also met him because they heard that he had done this miracle. So some people are talking about Lazarus and being raised from the dead, and they're happy. They're there seeking out the one who has done this great miracle. However, there's another reaction, and that is the reaction of the Pharisees who live in Jerusalem, and they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They are angry with him because he makes claims about being God and being able to forgive sins and being the Savior and the Messiah, and this, they want to kill him. Then the Pharisees said among themselves, "Do you see how you gain nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." Now that's fascinating. They are giving a prophecy about our Messiah that they don't know they're giving. The world has gone after him. And then immediately we're going to find people from outside of Israel who are going to be asking about Jesus Christ. Yes, the whole world is seeking after him. Not a surprise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He comes to save people from every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. The people of God are worldwide. But when they say the whole world, they're mainly thinking this big crowd. We are not stopping. The only way to stop him, in their view, is to kill him. And so it is showing us this rejection of Christ. So as the people who are praising him are using Psalm 118 as their voice, they're also, the people who don't like him are fulfilling Psalm 118 when they say, "We reject you." And the Bible in Psalm 118 says, "The stone which the builders rejected becomes the head of the corner." The whole world is going after him. Well, that's what follows in our text. John chapter 12, verse 20 says this. "And there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast." Big events are tourist attractions. Not only are you drawn to the event, that the event itself and its bigness often draws a crowd. For instance, I may not be too interested in horse racing, but I've always thought it'd be nice to go to the Kentucky Derby. I am not that thrilled with open wheel racing, but I thought it'd be pretty nice to go to the Indianapolis 500. I'm not a huge fan of country music and its beginnings, but I sought out going to Nashville and going to the Grand Ole Opry and seeing these events. It's not so much that I want to be where the crowd is. And so these Greeks are there who have come to worship at the feast. Now, it's possible that they were proselytes from the Greeks, nations who had taken up Judaism. That's a possibility. Both are possible, but both of them speak to the fact outside. People from outside have come inside, and they're there, and they have this request. They come to the disciples and say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Now, this phrase, I have to admit, weighs heavy on my heart. Because I am going to speak on it today, I definitely said it, but I often find myself saying this to myself before I preach. There was, I took a tour of the Independent Presbyterian Church in Savannah, Georgia, a very historic church. And as I went to look at the pulpit, before you enter the pulpit area, there's a little sign for the preacher before he climbs the stairs into the pulpit can read. And it says this: "Sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." Don't ever forget that, preacher. That's what that little sign was saying. Don't ever forget that there are people who are seeking Christ, and it is our job to share as best we can Jesus Christ. I think about Philip preaching to the eunuch. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 that he preached unto the eunuch Jesus. I'm sure he used a lot more words than this one word, Jesus. But that was the summation of the sermon that Philip preached to the eunuch of Ethiopia. Preach Jesus. Tell us about Jesus. Listen, your church that you attend should be Christ-centric. It should be focused on Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be focused on politics. Shouldn't be on economics, shouldn't be focused on anything other than Jesus and Him crucified. We would see Jesus. What a great advice for all preachers to hear that. But this is a request that they have. So here we have, on one hand, a group of people who are saying, we're not prevailing against Jesus, we need to kill Him. And the other group is saying, I want to know more about Him. I want to see where He is. I want to follow Jesus Christ. And so this day of Jesus entering into Jerusalem has mixed results in one sense. But it was a day that had to be. I want us to understand that. In the Old Testament, it said, behold, your king comes to you. Most of the time, Jesus came into Jerusalem, especially as things got hotter. Each time He came, He got a little bit hotter as far as the hatred against Him. And as He comes in, sometimes He would come in very, very quietly because He knew there are people who are trying to kill Him. This time, no problem. I'm coming in boldly. And the reason is, He actually is expecting to die this time. His hour had not come in previous times there, but this time He's coming, and before He dies, He must fulfill all the scriptures, and this scripture had to be fulfilled. Palm Sunday is an important day of scripture fulfillment, and it is a day of celebration. Remind us, yes, Jesus is going to die, but that does not diminish. It does not diminish who He is. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He ought to be praised. I think about the other gospel accounts of this event, how that the people who did not believe in Jesus are asking Him, tell the crowd to be quiet. Quiet down this crowd. They're getting too excited. And Jesus said, if they won't sing, if they won't praise, if they will not lift up their voices, these very stones on the road, the walls, the whole city will erupt. The inanimate, God can raise up stones to praise His name, but He didn't use the stones as they didn't need to. Because the people who had been touched, people who had seen Him raise Lazarus from the dead, people who had seen Him heal the blind eyes and make them see, people who had felt His truth and His teaching and His love in their own hearts, they were waving those palms in victory, saying, this is the one. And those Greeks who saw all this said, we want to know more about Him. We want to know all about Him. Well, Philip and the other apostles come to Jesus Christ and tell Him, there's people here who want to see you. And they're special kind of people because they're not from around here. They've come from a different place. They're from Greece. Philip came and told Andrew. This is John chapter 12, verse 22. Philip came and told Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip told Jesus. That is, there's people here who want to see Him. We would see Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come. That is, now we have to do some reading in between the lines here. I think what Jesus is saying, if you want to see Me, you also have to see Me as the one who dies. Not just the one who is getting the praise of the people for being king. You have to see Me in My hour of death. And this announcement, this statement at the beginning of Passion Week is so significant. There is no mistake about the death of Christ. He has come for this hour. And we're going to read about that in the next few lines of Scripture. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, we would see Jesus. Well, if you see Jesus, you're going to have to see a dying Savior. Now, I want to say this. That's not where we leave him, but it is where he's going. He is coming to Jerusalem to die. And Jesus tells an easy-to-understand parable. Not all the parables are easy to understand. I will readily say that. I struggle with several of the interpretations for some of the parables. But this one is super easy to understand. Very short one. He says, I'm like a seed. And also, John doesn't give us many parables, but he does give us this one. When they want to see Jesus, he says, well, let me tell you a little story about what you're going to see. In verse 24 of the 12th chapter of John is a little parable. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So, as long as the seed is in the seed package, it's in the pile of seeds, and it's not in the ground, not been planted, not been watered, as long as it is not planted, it just sits there, it's one seed, one grain of wheat. But if you put that seed in the ground and it becomes something else, the seed will die, the wheat grain will die, it will be transformed into something else. And on that death of the one, there is going to be the life of many seeds of wheat. You know, as the plant grows up from that one seed, there are going to be stalks of wheat, and each of those will have multiple grains. If it was a piece of corn, one little corn seed is going to produce many, many, many kernels of corn and the ears of corn in a corn plant. One little seed of an apple is going to produce many, many, many apples over the years as that apple tree grows from that seed. The seed gives up its life for the giving of life to others. You want to see Jesus? Understand that about him. He gives up his life for the production of life in others. And the others includes you. And the others include me. Jesus Christ gives his life for us. And this is something to be seen. So yes, see the palm trees waving. Hear the voice of the crowd singing. But also understand that an amazing thing that we need to think about this week, and actually all the time, is that Jesus died for us. John chapter 12, verse 25 and 26 gives a practical call to us then. He who loves his life shall lose it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also may my servant be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I'm going to sacrifice, and I want you to be ones who sacrifice. Now let's get back to Jesus' life. Verse 27. John 12, 27. My soul is troubled, Jesus says. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. What hour? The hour of his death. He's already referred to it. The hour has come. Save me from this hour. But for this cause I came to this hour. So Jesus comes, and they see the Greeks see the waving palms, and they hear the voice of the cry of praise for this one who's come. And they say, we want to see Jesus. He says, well, here's the Jesus you're going to see. This Jesus that you're going to see is going to die. And you need to understand that. And it's going to be very soon. You're going to see it. And I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to do anything to stop it. And the reason is, I came for this purpose. I cannot stop being amazed by this. John chapter 12, verse 31 through 33. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, speaking about Satan. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. I'll be lifted up. He's predicting what kind of death. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, if you would see Jesus, you're going to see him on a cross. See him there. See him showing his love for us. Show how he's going to die for us. And if we didn't get that when he said, I'll be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. John lets us know in verse 33, he said this signifying what kind of death he was about to die. A death that will lift him up for view. Now, think about this. The centurion, who was therefore Roman, saw Jesus die. He was put in charge of being there at the cross. And when Jesus died, he said, surely this was the Son of God. He becomes a believer, seeing Jesus die. He drew the Roman centurion. He draws these Greeks. He draws people from all over the world. He's drawing you as you listen to me. Look at Christ. Look at his sacrifice. Oh, sure. Wave your palms of victory, because he came to rise again and again from the death. But also understand that as Passion Week begins and we wave our palms and sing our praises, it is for one who is going to die for us that we might live. May God bless you as you think of these things. And until next week, walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. The Primitive Baptists who bring you this program each week do so with the following conviction. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our guide for what we are to believe, and it is our guide for what we are to do. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is to be followed as Lord and Savior. And we believe that his salvation is a free gift of God's sovereign grace, not dependent on any work that we do, but wholly dependent on his finished work done on our behalf. We present this weekly Bible study based on the premise of Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you would like to contribute to the furtherance of this program, then send your donation to this address, The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. That's The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Or if you want to send a question or a comment to us, you can also send your correspondence to that address. We also have a webpage where you can access all our programs as well as other helpful information. It can be found at Lighthouse Bible Study. That's just one word and all in lowercase. LighthouseBibleStudy.org. Until next week, may God light your world.